Well, good afternoon, everyone. Shalom, and here we go. It's God's Sabbath, and the wonderful opportunity we have been so blessed to have as men and women called of God at this time, and that is to have access to the precious Word of God, to begin to know exactly what it is that God wants us to do as human beings made in His image. Last week, we had the opportunity to explore what I gave in that sermon entitled After the God Kind, A Work in Progress. And we discussed the ramifications of that and what it means for all of us as individuals, that God's not finished with us. And life's circumstances and that are designed to bring all of us to various elements of conclusion in the final product that God is working toward. And last week we covered that, where we talked about the spirit in man, which helps explain why man, left to his own devices, without spiritual understanding, is not capable of solving his or her own problems. And that is certainly true. We've all had to experience that. The Bible says no flesh will glory in his presence. And the reason why is flesh cannot answer the spiritual questions that need to be answered. Only God can provide that. And of the very important principle, what we learned was this, that physical solutions cannot solve spiritual problems. That's important to keep in mind. Physical solutions cannot solve spiritual problems. It requires spiritual answers to the problems that we suffer. All human relationships are based upon spiritual principles, and the Bible is filled with them, and that's why God has preserved them for us. We need them. That's what feeds the spirit in man. But most of mankind in the world we live in, and people we know and interface with every day, most of the world is not aware of this. They just live and come and go and eat and drink and sleep and work, and they just go about their normal routine, but they have not a comprehensive understanding. How do we solve these problems and difficulties we see erupting everywhere? And they're just terrible to see the things that are happening on the news and brought to you each and every day. It's important to know it does not matter what political group or government, economic system, religious affiliation that a person belongs to, none of them can solve world problems. And they're just getting worse. And the more this one, that one, tries to solve this difficulty, it just creates a greater difficulty for all parties involved. For 6,000 years of human history, God has written this experience in human suffering to teach us a lesson, to teach us a very important lesson. It drives home a point that there is something wrong in the way we are living. And the way we are living has brought nothing but heartache and suffering to all of us. And so God wants us to really stop and consider that. And this really creates a problem for people, because you see, there are a lot of people who believe in God. And they say, well, if God has all power, then why does he allow all this terrible stuff to go on? Why doesn't he just reach down and just stop it? If he has all power, he could do it. And yes, he could. But he has chosen not to. Why has he done that? That's the big why in most people's minds. If God is love and God is all that the Bible says he is, why doesn't he do something? People today are frustrated over man's inadequacy. They promise you they're going to do this, this, and this, and that, and they never get it done. And so today people are humanly frustrated with government and leaders, and they don't know what to believe, and all the fake news and everything else that's out there today. Who do you believe? What do you believe? Well, the answer is very clear from a biblical perspective. And that's what is lacking in most people's understanding of life. They have renounced the scriptures. They have taken the Bible and taken it out of the conscious understanding of events and how to solve problems. What God wants us to understand is that something has happened that has affected the whole world. And you and I live in this world. And those who will be watching this video, this is for you too. You live in this world, and it's affecting you whether you like it or not. This world is in a terrible decline. It's headed for a great disaster. The Bible talks about these things. If you'll join me in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 4, we'll notice something very important. This is Galatians chapter 1 and verse 4. Now, referring to Jesus Christ, it says, whom gave himself, this is Jesus now, he gave himself for our sins. Now, most people don't even know what sin is today. It's not dancing and card playing and, you know, and whiskey and wild, wild women and all that stuff. That could be, yes, indeed, if people want to live a licentious life. But what God is teaching us is that sin is the violation of his sacred law, which governs the universe. It governs the spirit world. It governs the physical mandate of man's world. And 1 John 3:4 makes that very clear and defines that sin is the transgression of God's law. Now, that plays a very important part in what we're here for today to remind ourselves. It goes on to say that Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might notice, and mark it in your Bible if you've never done this before, that he might deliver us. You and I, as human beings, need to be delivered from something. That's what the Bible is telling us. And what is that? It says, from this present evil world. You and I find ourselves living in a present evil world. It is not the kingdom of God. That is yet to come. But we are told from the Word of God that part of the problems that we experience as human beings is that we live in a present evil world. And the delivering, notice that, delivering us from this present evil world according to the will of God. So it is the will of God to deliver us. To deliver us, not to enslave us, but to deliver us. And what from? It says to deliver us according to the will of God. Of our Father, our Heavenly Father. That is tremendously encouraging, a scripture well noted, and you should keep it very close to you. We ask the question, why is there evil in this world, and where does it come from? Because it is a factor that we all deal with. We hear it in the news, we see it on television, we read it in the newspapers. Evil is everywhere. And there is a reason for it. I've entitled this sermon today with the following title: The Dark Force That Drives Evil in This World. The Dark Force That Drives Evil in This World. We read Jesus in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 37. He made reference about the evil one, that we are to be delivered daily from the evil one. And we are supposed to pray for that on the Sermon on the Mount. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. There is an evil one in this present evil world that makes it that way. There is always cause and effect. The effect is evil. The cause is the evil one. And this we need to keep in mind. John 17, verse 15, the famous prayer, the real Lord's Prayer, when Jesus was praying to the Father just before his crucifixion. And what did he say to the Father? He says, I pray that you don't take them out of this world. So it's not God's purpose to remove us at this time from this present evil world, but it is his will to deliver us from it. But what does it say? I pray that you will keep them from the evil one. Because we know, as Peter writes in his epistle, he is always, we're told, to be sober, be vigilant, because this evil one, like a roaring lion, is always moving about, and he's seeking whom he may devour. He's got his eyes on each and every one. He scans us as human beings, and he just looks to see, have we left a door open where he can make an inroad and then begin to influence with his wicked ways? That's what we're told to be on guard for. We can't just live life like everyone else lives life, because they haven't got a clue as what is happening in this evil world. They think they know, but they don't know. And I'll tell you why they don't. Because there's a very important scripture in Revelation chapter 12 and verse 9 that gives us the clue. It tells us about the serpent, that old serpent, the devil. And it uses, take note of a special term in that scripture. It says, who deceives the whole world. Wow, the whole world? He deceives everybody in it? Well, sure, because he has created this world. This is his world. It is a present evil world that reflects his evil personality and his manner of behavior. Now, this is something we need to always keep in mind, that the devil is essentially evil, and he is personification of evil. Evil doesn't happen just by accident. There are people who believe evil is just a manifestation of sometimes people's minds. They believe in it, but it doesn't exist. It exists, and the scriptures confirm it exists. Now, last week when we discussed the spirit in man, we discussed how that spirit in man that God has placed within us, not an immortal soul, but a unique spirit that is given to every man and woman, and when it is combined with brain matter, suddenly a human being is able to think, reason, talk, communicate with other fellow human beings. We have a self-awareness. We know, we recognize ourselves. We recognize others. And through the five senses, we're able to evaluate life around us and learn from these experiences. That's what the spirit in man does. Then we also understand that God gave us something in addition to that. He gave us his Holy Spirit. And with the Holy Spirit, as it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it opens the door to spiritual things. Ah, well, now when that door opens, you can find spiritual answers to spiritual problems. But as I mentioned earlier, you cannot find physical problems or physical solutions to spiritual problems, because these laws govern God's entire creation. The law of God is powerful, it is supreme, and it can intervene at any point, at any time in God's creation. Now, here's a good example of it. Remember, Romans 15 and verse 4 says, all things were written for our learning, that we might have comfort and hope from the scriptures. And they do comfort us. They do give us hope, because they feed the spirit in man. That has to be fed and renewed, just like your physical body has to have nourishment so that you feel, again, like you can go on, that your physical strength is there. When you don't eat, you get weak. When you don't feed the spirit in man, you get spiritually weak. God wants us to be spiritually strong, not weak. Because if we're weak, that's when the devil will strike. He is not one that tangles with anybody who is spiritually alert or strong, but he will tangle with those who are weak, because he believes he can overpower them. So you have to fight the good fight of faith, as the scripture says. You don't fight, then you surrender to him. You got to fight him. You've got to submit yourself to God for help and guidance, and then resist the devil, and he will flee from you. But he will not flee if you don't submit to God and ask for his help, because he's got the whole world in a corrupted version of his hands. See, it's not the God of heaven and earth. It's this God, the God of this world, who has everybody in his hands, and they don't even know it. But God's influence is supreme. And then here's what we need to recognize from scriptures that are revealing to us these important points. When God wants to get a point across, he can take a carnal-minded individual and put something in that mind. And they have discovered here recently that there is a place in the brain. And they're mapping the brain right now, trying to find out all the different places that the brain functions, what causes you to lift your hand here and do this and turn. Well, in this particular case, there's a place in your brain where words activate. Words activate and cause a response on behalf of the party who hears these words. Now think, if you will, please. We're hearing an awful lot now about all this hot rhetoric that's going on out there in the political elements of the world and how people are reacting. Why are they reacting? Why are they getting upset? Something is stirring them. Something is stirring them. And that something that is stirring them is headed for that area in the brain to cause them to react a certain way. Now, when God wants certain things done from his perspective, he gives us examples of how he does this with his spirit. When the enemy does what he does, God shows how he operates and gives you the awareness of what to be looking for. Now, in the Old Testament, in 2 Chronicles chapter 36, 22 and 23, that's 2 Chronicles 36, 22 and 23, we are told that it is God who reigns supreme, remember, because nothing happens without God's express approval. It is God's great plan being worked out here below. It's what is affecting all of us as human beings, past, present, and in the future. Remember, God says he is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the one who started it. He's the one who's going to finish it. And he is going to do what? He's going to deliver us from this present evil world. That it's important we recognize we are not in this world. Our citizenship is reserved in heaven, and we are sojourners through the Spirit with Jesus Christ. And Jesus said we have to be protected from the evil one. And Jesus plans to be at our side. So is God the Father, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, they're there to help us fight in this battle, which is an extremely important battle of life and death. He stirred up back there in 2 Chronicles 36 because God had something at that particular time he wanted done. He wanted certain elements of the captives at that time to be released and sent back to Jerusalem to build the temple. The temple walls had to be built. So it says, he stirred up the spirit of Cyrus. What spirit? He did not have the Holy Spirit. He had merely had the spirit in man. And God's power influenced that spirit in his mind where he, you know what? We need to send those people back to Jerusalem. We need to send them. Now, he didn't stop to think about that. God put that in him, stirring up his spirit. Now we have another example of that with Caiaphas, the high priest, when Jesus was about to be kangaroo corded into his final hours. And you remember what Caiaphas said as he all of a sudden blurted out. He says, isn't it expedient that one man should die that the whole nation should be saved? And then it says in parentheses in the Word of God, it says, and this he spoke of by the Holy Spirit, which God had placed. In other words, God influenced his mind to blurt out the very purpose for which Jesus Christ was standing there, that he was going to die for the nation and for the sins of mankind. And that is what God does. He can override human thought. And he intervenes and has intervened in the course of history. We can go back and study key areas of history where certain things thought they wanted to go one way, and bingo, God made it go a different way. In fact, you and I may have witnessed such a one with a recent election that has caused such a stir in the United States and around the world in many ways. They thought the powers that be that were leading up for a certain presidential election, they thought they had it in the bag. All the various reports said it's going to be this individual. Everybody said there's no way this other individual could possibly win. They even used a poker term, they said, if he was to win, he would have to come through with an inside straight to beat this thing because everything is so locked down, they thought they had it in the bag. And then you and I saw something we had never seen, and it has altered election history because God can intervene. And what he does, he says, all right, you think you got it in the bag. Well, I've got certain prophecies that I want to fulfill. And I pick and choose who I want to accomplish these things. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take this individual and I'm going to put him in there and I'm going to literally blow the socks off of you and you're not going to be able to figure this one out. And they're still struggling trying to figure out how did they lose that election? We had it in the bag. The answer is plainly given to us in the book of Daniel when Daniel stands in and talks to the king of Babylon and he says, there is a God in heaven who rules in the kingdoms of men. And he's the one who gives it to whoever he wants to accomplish the prophetic picture and fulfillment of his word. There will be nothing left undone in the great sovereign plan of God. And we know that God sometimes can intervene in ways that are kind of humorous, where you have the so-called Balaam, the false prophet there in the Old Testament, and he was having problems with his donkey. Well, we're having problems with a lot of donkeys today, a political symbol. And right now, what is happening is that he was upset because the donkey saw the angel standing there with the fiery sword. And the donkey was smart. He didn't want to move. I don't think anyone should move when you see an angel with a sword standing there guarding, and you don't want, you know, don't push your luck. In this case, the mule did not want to move, and so he balked and he hurt his leg. That's what happened to the false prophet. And so he got angry and he started whipping, and all of a sudden God gave the animal a voice. And he says, why are you whipping me? He says, because of what you did, you're not doing it. Blah, 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 blah. And then God gave him eyes to see the angel standing there. The thing that God does is really amazing. He can do anything. He can even give a jackass a voice. And that's exactly what we have seen. And that's a mule, you know. That's what has happened. And that's what has transpired. And what it is that God does, he influences in the course of history and affairs of mankind to govern the proper outcome. That's the key. Now in 2 Chronicles chapter 18, as we move along in the scriptures, in 2 Chronicles 18, 18 through 22, we find that there was a problem with Saul, and it's a heavenly court scene that is given. And in that heavenly court scene, a situation is mentioned where God wanted to give a wrong direction. Saul wanted to go one way, God wanted to go another way. And it is mentioned where a lying spirit was permitted by God. God used a demonic spirit to influence the prophets of Saul. And so we see that God gave permission. And the demon did that, and the prophet Saul said, oh, everything's going to be great. But Saul went out, and he ended up dying in the process because of his transgression. And it's all recorded for us in Scripture. The whole point that we see from the Bible is that thoughts had to be implanted in their mind. Thoughts had to be implanted in their mind. And thoughts can be implanted in your mind, in my mind, and cause us to react certain ways, and hopefully they're always thoughts that reflect God's will so that we are reacting the way God would have us react. Daniel chapter 10, we see that there was, in Daniel's day, he was praying to God, wanting to know the answer to a prophecy of the Word of God. And so God sent Gabriel as a messenger from heaven to answer. But there was interference, the Bible tells us, that there was a prince of Persia from the demonic realm. Just as God has a kingdom and he has laws and order in his kingdom, the devil has copycatted God to have certain things for his demonic servants, promises them certain things. And there are various areas of rank and service, even in the demonic world. Because remember, he was Lucifer at one time. He saw how God had structured everything, and all he can do is a copycat. He cannot create anything that is new and different. The only thing he has created is the one thing that God has come to destroy, and that is death. Death. Because when mankind walked away from the tree of life, we took the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and death has dominated mankind ever since. The book of Daniel tells us that Michael had to come and assist Gabriel. So this was a very powerful spirit being from the fallen spirit world. And what do we learn from this? We learn that God has guided the overall direction of empires, as Daniel went on to explain about the world-ruling empires of Babylon, of Persia, of Greece, of Rome, and Rome is still with us even to this day in its final end-time prophecies. Now, this explains why Adam and Eve were rejected from the tree of life. They made a decision based on a different voice. They didn't listen to the voice of God. And so by listening to the other voice that was given, which was the serpent, represented by Satan the devil, and he is the driving force, the dark force that drives the evil in this world. And it's important that we never forget that. Why? Because we live in a present evil world that we must be delivered from. And that you don't hear from pulpits today. People don't realize they have to be delivered. And the way they think they're going to be delivered is, I'll fly away by being raptured and let everybody else go through the problems. And that's not going to solve it according to the Bible. Remember, you can't solve spiritual problems with, or better point, you can't solve physical solutions with the spiritual elements missing. You've got to have the spiritual answers to the spiritual problems. Physical solutions will never work. Only a handful of people down through the age have been granted by the gift of God to have access to the tree of life. The tree of life is representative of Jesus Christ, and you have it right here. You have access to the tree of life. And you are told to fill yourself with this knowledge. Fill yourself with the knowledge of life as God has decreed it. Only a handful, the mankind as a whole has been cut off just like Adam and Eve. They think they know, but they don't know. It's just like a person who has been given counterfeit money. You think you got the legitimate thing, but you don't know what to look for. You haven't been trained. And so until you're trained to know what to look for, you can't spot it. You think you've got the genuine article. Mankind thinks he's got the genuine article. He goes to church. He worships God. And yet the Bible says, hey, a form and ceremony of godliness is not what you want, because they deny the power of God. The power of God has to be recognized, and the power of God is manifest in all creation. Everything you see reflects the power of God. Your very life reflects the power of God, the way we've been put together fearfully and wonderfully. Only God can do that. But man will not give God the credit for that. What we find in this particular situation is that the ultimate consequence of this world is that we are suffering. And God is allowing us to suffer because, as he says in the early part of the book of John, chapter 1, that men love darkness because their deeds are evil. We've had to acknowledge and repent of that because we're part of the world. We grew up in this world. The evil world has had its effect upon us, and it's still pulling and tugging at us every day of our lives. And we have to bring every thought into subjection to Jesus Christ, because if we don't, then those other thoughts from the world excuse me, are trying to dominate, trying to take advantage of us. And when they do, what it does, it allows wrong decisions to be brought forth. There is a spirit in this world. It is a spirit that comes from the fallen Lucifer himself and the demonic hordes that follow him. We see in the first six chapters, by the time the Genesis 6, the sixth chapter of Genesis, verses 5 through 8, it says the wickedness of man was great. The wickedness of human beings today is great. We're repeating history. People today are trying to figure out what's going on. What motivates these people? The answer, spirit influence from the dark force that is behind the scenes generating and driving all this evil. People don't wake up in the morning and say, I think I'll be evil today. They don't do that. Ministers get up in their congregations and they don't get up and say, well, I'm a minister of the devil. Can I deceive you today? They all think they're the legitimate article. Everybody thinks they're the legitimate article. Nobody sees the evil that is all around. But the Apostle Paul says we must not be ignorant of his devices. There are many false ministers out there. How do you know? Compare them with the Word of God. How do you know what's right or wrong? Compare it with the Word of God. And there's probably a good answer to that. What would Jesus do in these situations? Follow his example. You can never go wrong following the Son of God. In John chapter 14, the Spirit of God reveals truth to us, and it helps us to apply the spiritual principles of the Bible to his law. There is the letter of the law, and there is the spirit of the law. And it's very important for us to understand that because, again, John, a very important scripture, John 6:63, where it says that the flesh profits nothing, but the spirit gives life. And that's where we have to go, to the Word of God. Now, that brings us to a very important thing that I want us to go and make sure we don't forget today, and that is this. You and I don't live in the kingdom of God. We are in an embryonic state being prepared for that kingdom. What we live in is in the kingdom of death. And I don't know if you've ever stopped to think of it that way. Because the god of this world, Satan the devil, he generates death. And because the wages of sin is death, and all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, what do we have? A world that is suffering, and people are dying and dying and dying all over the world. No wonder the Bible calls death an enemy. An enemy that has to be destroyed. An enemy that can only be vanquished by God himself, who is the giver of life and can destroy death, take away the sting of death, and bring us to the glory that he intended for us from the beginning. The spirit of this world leads to death. It's on the news every day. It's what you see as the result of warfare, terrible warfare. If any of you had the opportunity to see the movie Hacksaw Ridge, a part of history, Mel Gibson did that, and it is a absolute, don't go to bed on that movie. It is terrible what human beings will do to one another. But it's not human beings that aren't the problem. It's this dark force behind the scenes that turns human beings into wild animals that they will destroy one another and do terrible, terrible things. There was even a movie years ago made by, I think, Charles Bronson was the man in charge of that movie, or he was the leading actor. It was called The Evil That Men Do. I never saw the movie, but that title struck me when I first saw it. The Evil That Men Do. And they do. They do an awful lot of evil in this world. The spirit of this world is the spirit of death. That's why Jesus says, come out of her, my people. Don't get into that. If you pick up that type of spirit, you're headed in the wrong direction. God's spirit works positive things in the lives of men and women called of him. But in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, that's Ephesians 2, 1 through 3, it tells us that this spirit, this disobedient spirit, works in the children of disobedience. So when you see all this activity on the news, where you see people doing terrible things to one another, hurting one another, it's acts of violence and disobedience. And it is generated by that spirit behind the scene that most people really don't want to acknowledge. They may hear about the devil, may think he's got, you know, he's in a red suit, got a tail, and got pitchfork and all that stuff, but that's a bunch of foolishness. Dante Alighieri and going down into, you know, the underworld, that's not the reality of it. What we need to understand is that the Bible makes it clear that human beings are just like we've been told years ago. The mind is like a tape recorder. We have modern technologies today that have improved on tape recorders, but originally you had a tape recorder and you had a tape. The tape cannot do anything of and by itself until you put it in the tape recorder. Punch the button play, and there she goes. If you punch record, it'll record everything and put everything you want on that. Pull that tape out, the recorder stops, the tape is no good. Put the two together, you've got music, you've got conversation, you've got it all. That's the way our minds were designed by God, to listen to Him so that His Spirit could feed the spirit in man and woman and give us the ability to understand the things of God. But once that was severed, we were cut off from spiritual answers to the questions of life. And so today, man runs around trying to figure out, where did life come from? It came from God, but they don't believe in God. So maybe aliens brought it to us. Maybe a meteorite hit the earth and seeded some slimy pond and generated something so that you and I could suddenly become alive in the Goldilocks zone. Listening to their answers is a joke. And we must not be intimidated by their so-called science, because they are wrong. They cannot put God, who is a spirit, and His spiritual laws and His principles, they can't put it in a test tube. So therefore, they're cut off from God. They don't have the answers. Only those who have had contact with God, and that's where we come in. We've acknowledged our sins. We've repented. We've been baptized. We've received the Spirit of God. And now God says, my sons and daughters, here's the answer to the problem you're facing. And boy, isn't it a relief, and be comforted by the Scriptures to know that. Ephesians 6 and verse 12 tells us our enemies are not other people, but the rulers of darkness. Darkness. That's where it comes from. Because evil thrives in the dark. They don't want anybody to see. Light exposes everything. So therefore, light drives away the darkness. And you and I are commanded to walk in the light of God's Word. Of course, I mentioned to you about Revelation 12:9, how the whole world is deceived. How do they miss that? I know that was thunder in my mind. That was lightning going off when I first discovered that. I said, the whole world? Well, then our next question, well, how does He do that? How is He so cunning that He can deceive everybody in this world? Because people don't believe they're deceived. You may be deceived, but not me. I'm smart. I'm not deceived. And so in that area, they have become the most deceived, because of the wrong approach that they look. The Bible gives us some very important areas. God's Spirit transmits, with its capacity, it transmits the things of God to those who are God's servants and people. Satan has a counterfeit form of transmission. He is the spirit of the air. He uses the air to accomplish what he wants. The fruits of his efforts are written in Galatians 5:19 through 21, called the works of the flesh. This is what the news reports. This is what you hear every day. The influence upon this world and society basically formulates death. You don't see hope and encouragement in the world. There was a program years ago in the 1950s called Father Knows Best. That's a good name to remember with regard to our Heavenly Father. Our Heavenly Father knows best. And we need to follow His command, because we know it's His will to deliver us, and He sent Jesus Christ to do that for you and for me. Where would we be if he didn't have that love for us to send them? We would have no hope for the future. When we see loved ones depart from us that we love so very, very much, what's the answer? Well, man tries to come up with answers. Well, we're going to go to heaven, or we're going to do this, or we're going to do that. But there's so many different answers. They're confused. But the Bible tells us we have the hope of the resurrection in Christ Jesus. And nothing can take that away from us. Heaven and earth, nothing can separate us from the love of God once we embrace that calling. So God has given us examples to help us understand. He gives contrasts such as light versus darkness. He talks about the tree of life versus the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He talks about having eyes that see as opposed to people who are blind and can't see. And there are people in the Pharisees, they thought they saw. And he says, well, where are your sins retained? And they're still there. You say, but nothing has changed. You see, you've got to be led by the Spirit of God. Again, you can't just have the Spirit of God and say, I'm A-OK. You've got to use it. God wants to see you produce fruit, the good character of Jesus Christ. And we all know we're delinquent in that area. We all know we don't even come close to what we should be. But God is there to help us. As we sing the song, God will see us through. He's promised to do that, and he will do that. Now, the human race finds itself influenced by this present evil world. And it is a kingdom of death, because Satan can't offer you life. He may promise you, you can have this, you can have that, but there's always a death penalty at the end of the road. Today, we're going to see now, I'm going to go through just to show you a quick smattering of what's going on and how this is influencing the world. For example, he influences attitudes, moods, and thoughts. You've got to watch your attitude all the time. You've got to watch your moods. Because, again, you hear people say, well, he's in a bad mood, or she's not in a good mood today. You got to watch those moods. And you got to watch your thoughts, because things come flying into your mind, and it's not you thinking some of these things. Sometimes you get some pretty bad things coming through your mind, and you wonder, well, where did that come from? Came from the adversary. He thought maybe he saw just a little bit of a door open, and he shoots that in there to get that thought into the mind. That's why it's very important that we be careful. There are some people that Satan literally possesses. And most people are not demon-possessed, but most people are oppressed of the devil. We are oppressed because we live in the devil's world, and we have to deal with all these elements that he generates. Hitler was a good example of one who was possessed. One of his attachés that took care of him and, like, I guess basically all his basic needs, when interviewed after the war, he made a statement that was quite profound. He says, "You have never seen Der Fuhrer in one of his rages." He just lost it. And that's when he became, you've heard the term, screaming demon. Well, he lost it. And Hitler was very powerful in an influence, and he influenced the whole nation of Germany to go to war. So thoughts are very powerful, folks. And now they're trying to map the mind. It makes you wonder what's going on. Modern technology can be used for good, can be used for bad. The influence, if you remember in the Garden of Eden, Adam was called to name all the animals. They were peaceful. Nobody was afraid of animals back then. But guess what? Now we've got ravenous animals out there. Now we've got poisonous snakes. Something has happened that has affected even the animals' realm, the influence upon animals, wild beasts, poisonous snakes. It's all going to change in Isaiah 11 when the kingdom of God comes. God's going to turn it around. He's going to bring it back the way it was intended. He can influence nations, this evil, dark force. And he can do things to the leaders of those nations and the leaders of organizations and the leaders of churches as well. He can influence all the hierarchy of structures in government and all institutions. For example, no nation can escape his influence. How do I know? Because it says he has deceived the whole world. They think they're an exception. Nobody's an exception. We have to come out of it. No nation can escape his influence. For example, there are governments of communism, socialism, dictatorships, Republican, Democrat, it doesn't matter. Satan has had his fingerprints over all of these things. And we have to recognize it. And when we see those certain vibes that Jesus said, you'll know them by their fruits, you'll know that he's there doing his dirty work. He has divided nations against each other, their political approaches. He's turned human beings against each other. He's turned the races against each other. He has done everything he can to undermine the plan of God, which is to do what? Bring salvation to mankind and deliver us from this present evil world. He doesn't want us. One of the key areas is that he influences religions. That answers a question that people ask. They're just logical. They say, why are there so many denominations? The Bible seems to indicate there's only one. One faith, one truth. How come everybody is all cut up in different pieces? Because the God of this world, that dark force behind the scene, does not want people to get along. You see, we are to preach the gospel and to do what? Feed the flock, feed the brethren. He doesn't want you to be fed, and he doesn't want the gospel to be preached, because the gospel does what Jesus did when he came into Galilee, saying, the time is at hand. The kingdom of God is being preached. And guess what? He said, believe the gospel of this good news. Yes, the adversary knows his time is limited, and he does not want his kingdom to end. So what does he do? He comes out with the following. And you make the final decision. Listen to what I give you, and think about what you have heard and lived through. You cannot pray in public now in certain places. You cannot discuss the Bible in schools in certain areas. Tolerance of all religions, all faiths and all religions are considered equal, except Christianity. And many have forgotten that this country was founded on the Judeo-Christian principles. They haven't been taught that in school. They've been taught other things, liberal doctrine. And whoever coined the expression is that government schools are indoctrination centers is really true, because that's what they are. They don't teach the bottom line so that the new generation grows up understanding these things. So they think the diversity of everything, the devil uses religious confusion to divide and conquer people. That's what he does. And he's good at it. He knows how to do it. We are called to worship the one and only true God. What about the economy? Everybody has to have, as they say, you've got to have money in the bank, Frank, or otherwise you can't pay your bills. So what happens here? Well, the economy can be influenced by Satan. Look at the greed and the scandals that we hear dealing with Wall Street and money managers and the hedge fund operators. What about the recent situations where money and taxes are being used to further things that are actually anti-American? If you've been listening to the news and hear what's been going on in Central Park, a so-called Shakespeare presentation of Julius Caesar when he got stabbed, well, Julius Caesar looked like somebody we know that they don't like. And so they picture doing him in. That's terrible. Capitalism is not the answer. None of these are. Many people think we today have all these riches because we stole it from everyone. No, we got it because God has blessed America in a way that he promised anciently to Abraham. The blessing and the birthright. Once again, we're going to see wonderful things take place in the kingdom of God, and it's going to put prosperity beyond your wildest dreams. You find that in Amos 9 and verse 13. where every man is going to sit under his own fig tree. In other words, you're going to be self-sustained. You're going to take care of things. You're not going to be owing your soul to the company store. What about education? Well, what do we get today? We get evolution. We get liberalism. No longer teaches right values. They use the term our values. What values are you talking about? Satan's ultimate purpose, the evil one, was to do what? To destroy mankind. He doesn't want mankind to fulfill the wonderful blessings that God has prepared for those that love him. Remember Haman, the story of Haman, how he tried to kill all the Jews? And then what happened? He ended up getting hung on his own gallows. Well, God has ways of turning things around. He tried to kill Jesus Christ, Satan did. He tempted Jesus to sin. Jesus would not give in. He has caused church splits and divisions. Nobody is immune. He is at war against the church of God. You can see that in many ways as you look back in the course of our past history. Matthew 24, 21 and 22 tell us that unless at a particular time that God sees coming on the horizon of life, unless God intervenes at the end time, it says no flesh would be saved alive. Now that's telling us very plainly that our lives are in danger. And if God doesn't exist, then we're going to bite the bullet or take it. We're going to end up, they're showing us all these destruction movies, advertising them all the time. We're going to get hit by asteroids. We're going to be hit by this and that. Tsunamis, you know, the planet's going to melt. The planet's going to burn up. The planet's going to freeze. On and on it goes. People don't know what to believe. And God says, be still and know that I am God. And if we just do that, it's amazing how it clears away the fog. And suddenly you begin to see, hey, that's not what I have to worry about. All I have to do is obey God's voice. He takes care of us. It's his game, his salvation being provided. That is so wonderfully encouraging. The spirit of this world needs to be removed forever. Dear brethren, the coming kingdom of God is right around the corner. We can all sense it. I'm not setting times or dates. I'm just telling you, everybody knows something's going to happen. They can feel it in their bones, as they like to use the term. But the Word of God says, when you see these things begin to happen, look up, for your redemption draws nigh. Redemption from what? To be saved from this present evil world. It is the dark force that drives evil in this world that has to be put away. And it will be for 1,000 years in which the whole world will experience the wonderful beauty of the love of God shed abroad upon the sons and daughters of God. It will be an absolute awesome time. And why us now? It's because we've been given the tapping on the shoulder. Will you join me in bringing salvation to mankind? Will you help Jesus Christ reign and rule? And you read in Revelation 2:26, if you stay the course, he says, I will give you power over the nations. And if they try to resist you, you'll smash them like a potter to the video. Nobody is going to resist the power of God. Everyone is going to either acknowledge, humble themselves, and praise God for all that he is, because God is coming back as a warrior. He's not going to be crucified this time. He's coming back as the conquering King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We're told to look up and rejoice at that time and make sure that we're close to God so that we can be in a state of rejoicing when he returns. God help us all and help us to endure to the end as the Bible admonishes. God be with you all.